And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day. Darren McFarland down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna, where it is currently sunny and beautiful. Over on the east side, Willie Donick hanging out in East Nashville. And Chase McCabe out on the west side, out of his humble abode. And we've got Elijah Campbell back at the Wholesale Inc. Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Gents, how we doing?
Doing well.
Yeah?
Doing well this morning. I guess, I don't know what it is about vacation. When you get back, you're obviously relaxed and have more energy. So I've been waking up earlier, just on my own before the alarm. So I get up and get a lot of stuff done, and even jumped on iRacing for a little bit this morning. So it's been good. It's been productive.
Feeling frisky.
Yeah, it was good.
Been getting up early, too. Boy, was it nice last night.
Oh.
Went out. We had to go do some things, run some errands, do some things. Kind of like our last night off for the week. Baseball tonight, obviously. Preds tomorrow. And it's like, we want to take care of some stuff, come home, and to throw on the TV and have baseball games and hockey games. Man, it was awesome. It was so refreshing.
It was so
nice to actually do that.
I wish my baseball team would be playing a little bit better, but, you know, it's been nice to be able to watch some games over the last few days, almost a week, I guess. But I did. I turned on the hockey game yesterday, and I think it's going to be cool. You know, Willie kind of alluded to it yesterday. The NHL did this media press or conference call the other day explaining kind of how they're going to do everything. And I know it was the first game. There were some on last night as well that I watched, but the product looks good from a TV standpoint, and I think they're going to continue to tweak it. I don't mind the fake crowd noise. I was one of those, and you guys know I was against it. I thought it was silly. I just wanted to hear the Nat sound, but now that I've heard it, I've kind of warmed up to it. So it adds, I guess, a little bit, something to it. But I think it's going to look cool from a television standpoint. And I know that we're doing a lot of cool things on the radio side and excited about that. And Darren, you're a part of that. And, of course, William Mace on the call for Fox Sports Tennessee.
Yeah, but I got to take in some games last night, finish off with Calgary and Edmonton. I fell asleep. I don't even know how it finished. Edmonton was up. Didn't even see the finish. So, of course, James Neal going up against his former team for a year.
Yeah.
Remember, he was with Calgary and then switched over, and now he's with Edmonton. I don't know. I don't know. And, it, by the way, I was curious because I watched more of the Calgary-Edmonton game than any of them. Of course, saw some of the Pittsburgh-Philadelphia game after we got off the air yesterday. But I wanted to see how these coaches would play their goalies, right? That's what we're trying to figure out, what John Hines is going to do for 11 o'clock. Or we're going to talk to John Hines at 11 o'clock today, but how he's going to handle tomorrow's exhibition game against Dallas. And remember the three options that we've been batting around? Of course, is when you were gone last week. The three options were you pick a guy and you play him the whole game. You pick your guy. He plays two periods. The other guy plays the final period. Or you split it right down the middle and you go half and half. Last night, Calgary and Edmonton both made goalie changes right at the halfway mark.
I think that's what John Hines does.
You think he goes half and half?
Yeah, because he's not showing his hand then. There is some, you know, there's a little bit of strategy to this. Of who, you know, everybody's asking the question, well, are they going back to Saros or are they going to Rene? He can play both, get them, because they both need work. I mean, they both need to see some game action. So I would very much expect both to play. I say split it right down the middle. You're not giving anything away. And he may not have even made a decision on who the guy is going to be. My guess is Pekka probably starts tomorrow. Saros comes in. That, in my opinion, doesn't mean anything. of who will start on Sunday. But I think that he splits it down the middle. That's just my opinion.
So you think he goes down the middle?
I do.
It's pretty interesting. It depends on how many people you talk to. Everybody's got differing opinions. That's why it's going to be fun to see, you know, exactly how this plays out, because I would say it was not uniform in the answers. And all the people that I asked that to last week, including the two of us when you were gone, we did not have basically everybody on the same page. Everybody had kind of differing opinions, and I think that's the crazy thing about all this, is because it's all the unknown, right? You can't say, well, this is how they typically do it in the final preseason game, right? Well, none of this is typical, right? This is all – it's just throw it in a bag, mix up the bag, and it's – you can't go with – standard. Nothing is standard. Nothing is normal. So I'll be curious to see. You know, Dallas is in a different situation. In fact, I think I even brought that up to Sean Shapiro, who we had on yesterday, who covers the Stars for The Athletic, and said, you know, they've got Bishop and Hudobin, but they're in a round robin situation. You know, it's a little bit different. I mean, you know, yes, they're playing for a seed, but when the Predators are playing, you know, the team that wins three games in the Predators-Coyotes series is going to continue their season. The team that doesn't win three games in that series is coming right back home. You know, that's the difference. And it doesn't matter what Dallas does in their round-robin games. You know, they're still going to continue playing. So, you know, it may be a little bit different approach for Bonus and other coaches in the round-robin play than guys that are approaching their one exhibition game. And when they start either Saturday or Sunday, it's for real.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it, because I don't know exactly what his strategy is going to be. That if it's going to be, I would imagine that it's going to be different, like you're saying. And with the Preds, it's kind of like, all right, we got this tune-up game, and then best of five, we have to get it right. And if we don't, you know, that we're going to start behind the eight ball. But Arizona's in the same position. They have an exhibition game as well. I did follow, you know, what some of the practices and scrimmages and all that looked like. And I know you guys were there some. I think you have to feel pretty good, because, you know, one, everybody's in the same boat that you are. And two, it seems like these guys showed up with, you know, they were in shape and they were ready to go. And there was that chip on their shoulder of, hey, we have unfinished business, and I know that even though it's can be considered a new season, they can look at it and say, you know, there were some things this season we didn't like and we need to correct, and now we have an opportunity to do it.
Do you realize after tomorrow's show, the next two shows, we are actually going to be coming on the air and reacting to a live product? And I get
I'm
it
so
Friday,
excited.
Albeit Friday is an exhibition game, but it's a game. Right, there's something to talk about, and it's going into game one. So the next two shows after tomorrow, we actually have reaction to something. And how refreshing is that after the last 4.5 months?
Oh, it's so refreshing that we're going to be able to, you know, to discuss it. And I know, you know, you're excited to get back into your role as pre and post host for radio. Willie's excited to get in the booth, and it's going to be different. I mean, it's. I've had a few people ask, so, well, how are you guys going to do this? Well, obviously, it's a different setup. You've seen it watching on TV that they're not on site. I mean, I was watching the Braves game last night, and Tom Glavine and Chip Carey were in the booth at Truist Park. They weren't in Tampa.
So they were doing it from the booth?
But the game was in Tampa.
No, I understand. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Well, I assume it's their booth. It looked a little bigger, but it was somewhere in the press box. They had a desk, and but they had monitors. So, I mean, it's obviously going to be an adjustment for everybody. But from what, you know, I've watched in other sports, you can't really tell a difference. And I think in some ways, you know, we're probably learning some new ideas and how to do things. So it's very exciting. And I'm, you know, The thing that I've been blessed to do for the last several years is, you know, be in the locker room after some of these big games. And, you know, unfortunately, I won't be able to do that. But for me, you know, we're coming up with some different ideas. So, Jeremy Gover and I that you usually hear after games in the locker room, you're going to hear us in some capacity. We're going to be doing some different things. So that's just kind of where it is right now in 2020.
Six games today. And by the way, you might want to throw it on NHL Network because the first game drops the puck at 11 o'clock our time. So in about 50 minutes, Battle Florida, State of Florida, Panthers and Lightning. That'll be at 11 o'clock on NHL Network. Okay. Then at 1:30, another game starts up. So we have two games that are – one is going to get played during our show, and the other one will start up Minnesota and Colorado will start up at 1:30 on NHL Network.
Okay.
So in the next 45 minutes or so, you need to make sure you've got it on NHL Network because the first two exhibition games today are going to be shown during our show. Then Carolina and Washington will switch over to NBC Sports Network. That'll be at 3 o'clock our time, or not switch over. They will be carrying that. Obviously, Minnesota and Colorado will be playing their game on NHL Network, Washington and Carolina on NBC Sports Network. And then NHL Network has Chicago and St. Louis at 5:30 our time. Rangers and Islanders at 7 o'clock on NBCSN. And then the nightcap will be Winnipeg and Vancouver on NHL Network. So that's today's action. And like I said, going back to last night, it was so nice to come home and just throw on the television and have options, not just like a game, to have options.
Yeah. I mean, it felt like old times.
And by the way, I watched a lot of the Dodgers Astros series because it intrigues me a lot because there is no love lost between those two teams. Man, the Dodgers are bitter. Man, are they mad at the Astros.
Sure. They should be.
I know, but I mean, it is going – if anybody thought there wasn't going to be a carryover, you think again. That is the wrong answer. There already is. Man, it got heated last night. I saw Carlos Correa hit a bomb off Walker Buehler early in the game, and then Buehler settled down, and then the Dodgers got going. Man, the Dodgers are so good, but boy, they do every time they do an interview, the Dodgers, man, they make a point to say something about the Astros cheating. So
I love it.
Every time those two teams play, it's must see TV. Dodgers
it.
And Stros.
No, I think it's great because they should be. They should be upset, and so they can take it out on them on the field. I mean, what's done is done, but I love that. I didn't really see much of that game. I watched, of course, Braves and Rays, and I'm a little concerned about the pitching staff right now of the Atlanta Braves. Well, yeah. I'm concerned about the bats, too. I mean, they're striking out. They got, I think the Rays had 11 more strikeouts last night against the Braves, so the Braves struck out that many times. I mean, they are whiffing, like you said yesterday. And then Kyle Wright, man, I was feeling good for the first couple of innings. And
then it just got away from him.
Yeah, I think he's just showing he's just not quite there yet. He's getting there. He's got – and Tom Glavine was talking about that. Of it's now what he's got to work himself through is get away from the, I can't mess up or I'm going to get sent back down, because Glavine said, he goes, that's what's going through his head right now. He is so worried about messing up to get sent back to the minors, you know, in normal times. But now you have to just go into the, okay, I'm here. I'm on this pitching staff. I'm starting every 5 days. I got to go out and do the work. So I think he's going to get there. He's just not quite there yet.
By the way, I like the Brewers uniforms. I do.
Yep.
And I'm with you on the Padres. I don't like the brown pants and then kind of the yellowish color. I don't think it all matches, the top and the pants for the Padres.
Yeah.
So I don't love that look. I really like the Brewers look. I think Willie said he loved the Padres look. I don't like it that much. I don't think it flows. I don't think it goes together. But I do like the Brewers look. I think it's cool.
Yeah, I think it's cool that they've mixed like the old colors with the newer logos and all that. It flows well. So pretty good, pretty cool looks that we're seeing out of some of these teams.
Yeah, I was trying to get. Let's see, what did the Bravos do? Let's see, they had 12 strikeouts last night.
Yeah, 12.
15, 12. 19 are the three that I don't know the other two games. That's the only reason I'm not mentioning them. So they played five games and they've struck out 19 times, 15 times, 12 times, and I don't know the other two games.
Yeah, it's been bad.
Wow. They might want to start getting some bat on the ball. Holy cow.
And the thing that's so concerning is, I mean, that's a talented lineup. I mean, there's a lot of talent, a lot of power in that lineup. I mean, they obviously Acuna, Albies, and Freddie Freeman, Dansby Swanson has been hitting the ball much better than we saw earlier in his career. They brought in Ozuna, Nat Adams. They brought in to be the DH. So they have it there. It's just they're not getting it right now. And the thing that concerns me in normal times, it's all right, five games, whatever, you're fine. They don't have that luxury now. They have to figure it out. It's like Jessica Mendoza told us yesterday. I mean, they basically have the first 2 weeks, and then you're going to know, all right, that team is going to do something. That team isn't.
Mm-hmm. We come back. Joe Rexroad from The Athletic will tell you what he's up to and what he's written about. We'll talk to him on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. That's what she's talking about. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday morning. Joe Rexroad from The Athletic, and now back on our airwaves again with Robbie Stanley every morning, 6 to 10 a.m. So the nice lead-in for us here on Darren Donick and Chase. Joe, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you guys?
Hanging in there, man. Just doing our thing. It's all you can do in these times, and we got live sports to talk about, so we would be fools to complain, because this is about as good as it's been in the last 4-plus months. We'll take it.
You know, you try to find positives, and, man, sometimes it is. You got to really get creative. But I'm not exaggerating that this is going to be the greatest August of sports ever. So, see? Good things can come of all this.
If it all happens, I agree 100%.
That's true. You always have to have the if in there.
Well, I mean, you have to. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, how could we be, once again, we'd be fools if we didn't think that everything has to come with the caveat of, well, if, you know. Because look at the Marlins situation. I mean, they've shut down and through the weekend. And I know it's a little bit different. I feel much better about the NBA and NHL. Much, much better. I think there are other challenges. I mean, I think there are challenges, and everything is at risk. But I just think a bubble scenario, a hub city scenario, is just, you just have much greater chance to succeed, in my opinion, than these sports that are going to have to just do their thing and hope and pray and keep their fingers crossed and hope their players are responsible and do the right thing and don't go to Magic City and all that good stuff. And, you know, hopefully their league can keep going. But and by the way, that's the Magic City incident is in with a player in a bubble situation. So
right.
You wrote something on The Athletic. We're actually going to get to several stuff, but you put out a piece on Vanderbilt, and certainly we have not been strangers to talking about that on the show. The article that's out, Vanderbilt Confidential, former employees dish on embattled athletic department. For everybody out there listening that hasn't had a chance to read this yet on The Athletic, and I encourage you to do so, what's the gist of this article?
Well, this came about because of what I think is a huge mistake by Vanderbilt in firing a lot of really excellent athletic communications and video people. A few weeks ago, I guess it's been a few weeks now, essentially, you know, moving athletic communications under the university umbrella, which is something that's been talked about for a long time. And, you know, I can see the potential merits there as long as they're allowed to still do their jobs the same way, you know, different funding, maybe more funding, more resources for some things. But you know, the idea, they fired people. Some of them are still working there till September 4th. All of them have been told they can reapply, although some of the positions were eliminated. And in the process, they are going to end up losing some tremendous people. And again, if your whole thing was just to move it, then just move it. And if you have someone that you want to fire, fire that person. But they fired everyone. Essentially, there's one person in Athletic Communications who was unaffected and said reapply. And so some people who I think wanted to stay at Vanderbilt are not, they won't stay there. And so it's just another, that to me brought up the idea of, well, I mean, look, I call a lot of these people, work with a lot of these people over the years, and basically the idea of here's a chance for, I guess, some honest discussion about Vanderbilt athletics and Vanderbilt University, and those are two different things, as we know. And sort of the idea of opening the floor on some things they want to say, asking them some questions, getting some honest responses, and protecting identities because these people are applying for different jobs, getting different jobs. You know, you don't want to be out there ripping your former employer. In some cases, maybe some of these people will be back, but it turned out to be, you know, I think the most educational part of the piece is the fundraising part for me. I learned a lot more about just how limited and in what ways they've been limited to raise funds because, as you guys know, if you aren't raising money at a high clip in college athletics, you are going to fall behind, as Vanderbilt has, and you're not going to be competitive.
I've said for years, just because you're smart doesn't mean that you have common sense or street smarts, and I've experienced that for most of my adult life. There's basically everybody, most people are smarter than me, but there's most people are not do not have the common sense and street smarts that I feel that I do. And I think that holds true here. I mean, there's so many smart, incredibly smart and gifted people over at Vanderbilt University, but I swear for two plus decades that I've been here in this market and covering them, there's a lot of people behind the scenes, especially higher up that make are big decision makers that have just never, they may be book smart and they may be incredibly intelligent, but they are lacking common sense and just street smarts and just, you know, how things look. I mean, to me, the way this look, it's just a, yet again, another horrific look for the university. There's no secret that Vanderbilt, the higher-ups, have always tried to control the message. There's no secret about that. They've always been like that. And to me, this comes off as yet again another attempt to control a message, which I don't know what the message was that may have, you know, had them moving in this direction. It makes no sense. What you said at the beginning is very true. There are a lot of very, very talented people over there, hardworking people, by the way, that have been over there for years, people that have graduated from there, that have put, you know, their life into that university and have been shown the door for a job that they were kicking butt at, and it just makes no sense.
Yeah, and I think there's the and you know, the controlling the message thing, yeah, I mean, I think I heard that from a lot of people in this, and again, it's like, you've got some people, I mean, their baseball social media accounts are like they, not only is it the best baseball program in the country, but I'd say it's the best baseball social media game in the country. And it's, you know, like, why are you messing with that? And I think it's, you know, it's two things. You've got people who, you've got some people who I think just, you know, want athletics to just have less of an emphasis there. Okay. But I think you have a lot of people. I think you still have people on the university side who don't want that. Who, I mean, you've got people on the board of trust I know who don't want that. Who have given a lot of money to athletics. But you can't, like, if you can't be in this league and be competing against these other programs, these other schools, and what they do with athletics, and have this approach and expect to compete. And the thing is, if you want excellence, and Vanderbilt University, I think, is excellent in a lot of ways, like, it doesn't, like, athletics excellence, that's a tongue twister, doesn't have to come at the expense of university excellence. They can actually both happen together. It's the same schools get mentioned over and over all the time. And we say a lot of the same things when we start talking about Vanderbilt. You know, look at Duke. Look at Northwestern. Look at Stanford. Look at Wake Forest. these places have figured out that you don't have to detract at all from the university. In fact, you will have a lot less negative stuff and embarrassing stuff like this if you invest to a reasonable point and give respect and support to athletics.
I mean, if you don't want the spotlight and you don't want to the scrutiny that comes with being in the SEC and being in the Power Five conference, and you don't want people questioning what you do, then just get out and go join the Ivy League. Nobody will care. Nobody will give any trouble. You can put out any message that you want and do things that you want. Of course, you're also giving up a $45 million a year check from the conference. But, I mean, you know, you don't get it both ways. I mean, you don't get to be in the SEC in the biggest conference in college athletics and then try to hide, you know, and control things and not want to be out there and hide behind the curtain. It's just not how it works. Like I said, if you want to be anonymous and you don't want to, you know, you don't want to answer certain questions, you don't want to do things a certain way, just get out. Give up that $45 million check. Go join a conference nobody really cares about and nobody's going to follow, like the SEC or Power Five conference, and you can do whatever the heck you want. But we know that's never going to happen. But that's the way they operate. I think right now my biggest concern, well, I don't know Candace Lee. We've talked to her a couple times on the show. It's a phone interview. I don't pretend to know her. I haven't spent any time around her. Unfortunately, that opportunity has not been made available to this point, and I get it. There's been this thing called a pandemic, for the most part. It's on her watch. But I listen to a lot of people that I know and I trust, and their info is all the same. And so I have to go on that for now, that everybody glows about Candace Lee, okay? And everybody says it's basically the same message. My concern is, will the university let her do her job as an athletics director in the SEC, or is she going to be muzzled and handcuffed the whole time by all the higher-ups? That's probably my biggest concern is, are they going to let her do her job?
Yeah. Well, and every single person interviewed in this piece we're talking about, I asked a lot of the same questions of everyone, but the Candace question, certainly, it's like, hey, honestly, what do you think about Candace? And really, like, one person, I'd say, was probably critical. I think a lot of people were hurt by how this went about and about how she handled this particular thing. But, I mean, you got some people who are, and a lot of people here who are, I'd say, fiercely supportive of her and what she is as a person, who she is, and her potential as an AD. But like you said, will we see that? Now, I also think, Darren, that, you know, this position demands someone to fight up for athletics and not just say, okay, whatever Kirkland Hall says goes, and
right,
let's all just be happy about it. I mean,
yep.
I mean, you're going to have to, and that's the thing, Malcolm Turner, you talk about a wide range of opinions on him in this piece, from glowing to the opposite of glowing.
Yep.
But I know that he came in and said, no, we're not doing that stuff. We're not doing this fundraising, can't do anything, and I'm going to talk to donors, and we're going to get money. And we got a facility plan. It's going to take $800 million or so to turn this place around. That's, I mean, look, obviously he screwed up and in some ways was not equipped or, you know, was not prepared through experience to be an AD in college. But I think he had some right ideas there about what you have to do. So with Candace, I do think that there's got to be some, you know, like some discomfort and some, I don't see how things get done if the athletics department doesn't say, no, this has got to happen. This has got to change. I do feel like she's in a good position to do that because she has relationships over a long time. She has people over there, who respect her and know her well, and so that should lead to the possibility, but that still has to get done.
We're talking to Joe Rexroad of The Athletic. You also hear him mornings alongside Robbie Stanley from 6 to 10 here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game. So, Joe, I want to talk some football with you. Training camp, it opened yesterday, they reported, but obviously it's a different time than we're used to. But you did a 53-man Titans roster, and I looked through it, and this isn't a slight at you, but I looked through it and I go, there's something missing. And you even have Jadeveon Clowney on your 53-man roster. So you are on the boat of they are going to sign Jadeveon Clowney. I hope you didn't bring that up with Mike Vrabel because he's tired of talking about it. But let's start with that. So you've pretty much been since the very beginning saying that Clowney was going to come here. When do you think this gets done then?
Well, I mean, it's complicated now, Chase. If you look, I mean, Vic Beasley, I don't know what the deal is with not reporting, but
yeah, that's a concern.
And so I don't know what that means. I know that, like, if Vic Beasley was certain he wanted to opt out, then you would do that and avoid fines. And the fact that they put it out there like that and there's been no explanation, I mean, I think we should find out something soon. But if it turns out that it is him, not sure, and then he opts out, you know, maybe it's something like that. You know, he's not sure about it right now, and it's like, you got to make a decision. You're going to cost yourself a ton of money. So let's say he opts out. Well, now the Titans almost have to sign Jadeveon Clowney. Also, then, Jadeveon Clowney knows that. And to me, Chase, the whole answer with Clowney is clearly, and this is really from around the league, different teams going after him and what you're kind of reading the tea leaves, but even in some people's reporting, I mean, his price is just too high for anyone right now. And it may not be at $20 million like it was reported in the spring, which is way too high. But whatever it is, no one's willing to give it to him. So if you're Clowney, I'm just guessing here, I guess you're sitting there waiting for someone to absolutely be desperate to sign you. Someone has a big injury to their top pass rusher in camp, or someone loses one of their top two pass rushers because of an opt-out, whatever it may be. And so then it's like, okay, yeah, you are going to pay me what I want now. I mean, that's all I can think of here. So, yeah, I have thought all along the Titans were going to get him. I've also thought that the Titans have a line that they aren't going to cross with money, and it's up to him to come down to them because he does have to play this year, right? Yeah. I mean, he wants to get paid. He wants to play. But, look, I think Clowney, honestly, if he has to take less, but in the meantime he's missing all the testing and the conditioning and the practices, I think he's probably okay with that.
Yeah, and now you have to factor in New England. Now, I don't know if Belichick's going to pay him what he wants, but New England obviously losing a lot due to opt-out, so I think that you probably have to put them in the Clowney sweepstakes as well. Quarterbacks. You have three quarterbacks that the Titans are going to carry. The three that are on the roster make the team. Obviously Ryan Tannehill and then Logan Woodside, Cole McDonald. Do you have Cole McDonald more as a, not the third string, but they're going to use him in some special packages? Or what was your reasoning behind going with three?
The reasoning there is just, and I'm sure, I think there's a great chance they cut him and sign him to the practice squad. The reason you wouldn't do that is, are you worried about him actually looking good enough during this camp that someone might actually try to sign him to their active roster? I mean, you know, there are teams that carry three. I mean, basically, that would be a safety measure to not lose him if you think enough of him. So, no, I wasn't really thinking in terms of, yeah, they're going to use them in special packages. More just in terms of, not sure we want to expose him. We really like his upside, and let's keep him on the roster and have him go through all that stuff. And I mean, I guess it could also be part of don't feel great about Logan Woodside. I mean, I think there's still a decent chance they go out and get a veteran QB.
I do too.
You know, but that was a tough call for me on the roster. Like, I almost typed in Blake Bortles along with Jadeveon Clowney, but I held off. I think that's obviously something to watch here.
Well, yeah. That's a smart move on your part. Don't type in Blake Bortles. Don't do that.
Alliteration is fun, though.
Been there, done that. We've seen that.
And one more on the roster. I mean, I know there's a lot of things that we can get into, but we're going to have several weeks to talk about that. The receiver position is another one that I'm a little concerned about. Not, you know, you got A.J. Brown. You know what he did last year. Corey Davis, you hope, is going to play well in a contract year. Humphreys, Khalif Raymond came on. I thought your notes on Cam Batson were very spot on because he was going to make this team had he not gotten hurt. But five receivers, I tend to lean towards six, and I still think they could go out and get a veteran. What say you?
Yeah, no, I think a veteran there, definitely possible. We'll see if some of the, you know, an undrafted guy could rise up. You know, like a Hollister is a you know, pretty solid player. But I think a veteran signing there for sure. You know, and of course the Corey Davis PUP thing. I mean, he just, you know, he's had a lot of injuries, not a lot of major ones since, you know, the major one when he was going through the draft process, but he's had a lot of little ones, and that's concerning. I think a veteran signing there possible. And an inside linebacker, even before the Jayon Brown starting on PUP, you lose Wesley Woodyard. You know, David Long really came on late in his rookie year, but, man, that position to me also looks like it could really use another veteran proven player. So I think John Robinson is going to have a busy few weeks ahead of him.
We had Mike Sando, as we wrapped this up yesterday, on the show, and he did the quarterback tiers. He had Ryan Tannehill in Tier 3. I don't know if you got a chance to see that or not. If you did, what did you make of his ranking of the tiered quarterbacks, and what did you make of Tannehill being Tier 3?
Yeah, not surprised. I mean, I guess I could have seen him possibly gotten into Tier 2, but, you know, in the comments in there, I think typical of how the NFL still looks at Ryan Tannehill, and these are, you know, there's GMs being quoted, but I think there's still a lot of skepticism about it. And I think it's just, if you watched him week after week here in this town, and that's probably you were here or you're a Titans fan, you watch him week after week, you have a different perspective, because at some point, some things become just routine and assumed, and he was very consistent in how well he was playing. But I understand also the wait and see, especially for so many people who, when did they watch him play? They watched him play when he was basically handing off to Derrick Henry in 2 playoff wins and making the occasional necessary throw. So not too surprised. But I do think that Tannehill is going to exceed the expectations of a lot of people this year because they're still lower than they should be.
Yes or no, is there going to be college football this fall? In completed college football season?
I'll have to go no.
Yikes.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I asked.
I don't want it to be true, but.
Right. Yeah. I had to be prepared for the worst. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go either. But check out his article on Vanderbilt Athletics, the athletic department, Joe Rexroad on The Athletic. Joe, thanks for the visit. Keep up the good work in the mornings with Robbie, and we'll be listening tomorrow.
All right, awesome. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Joe Rexroad right there with The Athletic. Joe Rexroad and Robbie Stanley, mornings 6 to 10 right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll come back and wrap up the first hour next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming up at 11 o'clock today, Predators head coach John Hines, as they get prepared for their exhibition game tomorrow against the Dallas Stars. Alex Apple at high noon today from Fox 17. He was at Governor Lee's press conference yesterday. We're going to tell you about some of the decisions and some of the things that were said yesterday concerning school this year and high school football and soccer and all that good stuff. So we'll talk to Alex at noon. Chris Mason, our weekly chat with him at 1 o'clock. So a loaded show here today on Darren Donick and Chase, and something that we talked about in the last segment with Joe Rexroad on his piece in The Athletic. I am concerned about, while I don't know Candace Lee, and I've said it over and over again, we've had 2 phone conversations. I haven't spent any time around her. I can't, you know, learn or judge anything off a phone conversation. Doing an interview on this show, but I have to trust all the people that I know and all the people that I've talked to, and it's the same message over and over and over again. It's very good about her, so I'll trust them until the opportunity arises where I can spend some time and make my own decision on what I think about her as the athletics director at Vanderbilt.
Sure.
But I'm going to go right now on what I've been told because I trust those people, and they all say really, really good things about her. So I'm going with that.
Yeah.
Until I'm proven differently or wrong about, you know, the information I've been given. But there's one thing that I have said that I would like to see her change right now on the surface is you are in a public job. Yes, Vanderbilt is a private school, and you heard me in that interview say Vanderbilt has always been about controlling the message and trying to be as private as possible, and that's just not how it works. If you want that, then get the hell out of the SEC and go to a conference nobody cares about or pays attention to, and there'll be like one person covering your all your athletics, and you can do whatever you want. I mean, if that's what you truly want, and we know that's not going to happen. So she's in a very, very public job. My biggest rub with Malcolm Turner is the exact same thing. Nowhere to be found, just, you know, emails, press releases. You got to do press conferences. You got to be visible. You got to be out there. She may be, and he may have been behind the scenes, although that's not what I'm being told as much. They did not have the same I got this basically the same information as Joe. It was kind of a mixed bag on Malcolm. You had some people that said really good things, and then some people that I talked to that they didn't have the same stories. So it was more of a mixed bag, where with Candace it seems to be pretty the majority rules. It's the same with everybody that I talk to. And so, you know, if you're doing that behind the scenes, that's fine. That's great, because that's what a leader should do. A leader shouldn't rule behind a closed door or through email. But you're also in a public position, in a position that demands in the SEC as an AD, is a, you know, African-American female AD, which, you know, is a pioneer and is great and should bring great attention to Vanderbilt for that. You know, it's a fantastic story that she be out there and be visible and talk to people. And when tough decisions are made, it can't just be in the good times. You have to be there when things are uncomfortable.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's just how it works. It's uncomfortable when you are
in
a position of leadership. Yeah, that's how it's supposed to work.
You, it doesn't you have always, to have and that's the problem. It doesn't
the easy conversations well. Anybody can do. It's just like, sure. You know, it's when I get ticked off at, you know, coaches and players, you know, oh, great, you talk when things are good, and then you hide and you don't want to talk when things are bad. That's not how it works, okay? You have to talk in both, because both happen. It sucks, but both happen. That's how life works. It's not all good. It's just like me being a head coach in youth baseball. I talk to I have open dialogue constantly with my parents, and it's not always good, and I'll say the same thing to them. It can't always just be about the good stuff. When there's something, you know, more difficult to talk about or uncomfortable, we have to have that conversation. We just do. That's how it works. I'm not like that. I am not wired to go run and hide. That's not how, and I don't think anybody in a role where you have to deal with people and do difficult things and make tough decisions, that you should be wired like that. And I'm not saying that Candace is. I'm saying right now, I hope she doesn't go down the path that I really felt like Malcolm was doing, where it was just about press releases and emails. And that just doesn't work. I also hope that they allow her, if all of the intel and all of the information that I've been given is 100% spot on about her, then if that's the case and she is the right person for the job and she can get the job done, because of all the trust and faith that people have in her and all the glowing stuff that I give her, then let her do her job, Vanderbilt. Let her be an athletics director. Even if that's not what you agree with at the top, let her do her job. She can't be handcuffed. And so that's probably my biggest concern moving forward, because we know there's a lot of things that need to be done over there, just subjects that have been out there for years, right? On shows like this, written, talked about. It's no secret. We all know what the subjects are. Let her do her job. If you're just going to hang, if you just wanted a puppet, I don't know, you know, why don't they just, if you're going to get rid of your communications department and just have everything run at the top, then just have the top run everything. Yep. Let it just combine job titles and let the top do everything and just eliminate everything below them. You know, obviously I don't want that to happen, but if that's your mindset, then, you know, I mean, what are you doing? Just do that then. I hope that's not the mindset, though.
Yeah, I hope not either. And you said it a few weeks ago when we were talking about this, that you've heard good things about the new chancellor, and that the, you know, the new chancellor understands that athletics are a big part of the university. And so that's my hope, because the thing that I can't stand is when you have people in a management position and they do two things. One, they hide behind a closed door and never interact and never talk to you and just send emails and hide behind a keyboard, or they don't allow a person that they put in a position
to do their job.
Yep. And because you hire an athletics director to direct athletics because you're over a school, and you probably, being in that position, you don't know anything about athletics. You don't know how to direct athletics. So why do you need to interfere? Don't interfere. You don't know what you're talking about. Let them do it.
Hey,
she
that's
played basketball
why you hired
there.
Them. Yep.
Right.
That's right.
She's been in that athletic department
right.
for a very long time.
Yep.
So they have to trust her that they and themselves, because they're the ones that said, you know what? You're the right person for the job. So you got the job. Don't worry about the interim tag. You got the job full time. So now they have to let her do it. All the things that you said about hearing good things, we've heard a lot of the same things about her. I do believe that if we had not been in a pandemic, especially with the announcement we made a few weeks ago of them coming over here and being part of our family and broadcasting their games, I do think that we would have had more face-to-face interaction with her. And we would have the opportunity to get to know her a little bit better. I think that's coming. I think that'll be good. And I've from everything that you've said and we've heard about her, I think that this is something that they're gonna pull out of. I don't agree with the decisions. A lot of people that we've gotten to know over the years and worked with lost their jobs, and that's a very unfortunate and downright wrong thing. But the hope is that they can power through this, and maybe they'll review it. And you know, one of the reasons they're not talking could be, hey, maybe we should take a second look at this. You've kind of made your bed, but, you know, who knows? But I hope that this is something they learn from. And
They will never admit fault. No, I disagree.
Well, you say they. You say they. Do you put Candace in that?
No, that's the higher-ups. It's the people above her.
Right. And you're
no,
right.
I don't believe they will admit fault, even if they have come to the conclusion privately they've admitted fault, like we shouldn't have done that. They won't. They won't do that. They won't come out and admit fault.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate.
I'm just telling you from the conversations I've had with people that was a very consistent message. That they would never admit fault, even though everybody can see that this was not a good decision.
Yeah, well, it's not. I mean, there are a lot of hardworking people that have done a lot of good things over there that aren't there anymore. And for those of you that just, you know, are casual listeners and you don't understand what all goes into communications with an athletic department in this case, there's a lot. I mean, there are SIDs for football, for men's basketball, for women's basketball, for baseball. And it's a big undertaking that now they're just like, we'll let you know Larry who was handling communications with the
biology department.
The biology department. We'll let him handle it. So you know, it's more than you think it is, and I hope that they're about to learn the hard way, I think.
All right, we will come back and start the second hour with Predators head coach John Hines. That is next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.